Checkpoint Intimates.
Hello, and you are here with another episode of Checkpoint Intimates. We are your weekly gaming show that goes one-on-one and gets intimate on a weekly gaming topic. My name is Elliot, joined by Cameron.
Hello.
Hello.
How's Happy life? To be here. Yeah, good.
Yeah?
Yeah, I guess.
That's good. I'm glad we covered that.
In this week's episode, if you will.
Yeah. Oh, should I have said something different?
No, I was just saying that was a nice segment there, don't you think?
Oh, because we're talking about episodic gaming.
Yeah.
Oh, which, you're so clever.
Yeah, like last week on this show, you know, Elliot missed the point.
Yeah, that happens every week on the show.
Zing. Shocker. Yeah, we're talking about episodic gaming.
Why? Why are we talking about episodic gaming?
Obviously, the big thing at the moment everyone's talking about is the closure of Telltale. Who are kind of at the center pillar on episodic gaming. You know, they're the people that you, when you think of episodic gaming, you think of Telltale, don't you?
Yeah, of course. They've like kind of, I know they didn't create the genre, but they've created this like second wave, this boom in the industry with people following suit and doing these episodic releases where they'll have like part of their game will release and then that's the end of episode one, and then they'll leave you on a cliffhanger and then episode two comes in a few months later. That's the kind of game we're talking about.
Yeah, and I think it's really important to differentiate it. Episodic gaming is where it is deliberately constructed in such a way that it is bite-sized and released in those bite-sized portions, as opposed to releasing a full game and then later releasing DLC that extends the story.
Yeah, they're different. They're different kind of business models.
This is, start to finish, it always meant to be in these usually it's five, I find, is the standard.
Is five that the standard?
I see a lot of them do five or three. Fair. Like, yeah. They go uneven. I think from, like, a marketing point of view, that's easier to do. And from a storytelling, like, when you look at a lot of...
beginning, middle, and end.
Well, yeah.
Makes sense for
most
three.
Films are broken into a three-act thing, so these games trilogies. Are both into a three-act. No, three-act is within the one film. Oh, my God.
Anyway. I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah.
But I think because things are usually broken into that uneven act, it makes it easier to make episodes in an uneven amount.
Right.
And I've just noticed that's usually the standard, three or five. And that means that you have a whole story existing within those set episodes, but then each episode itself will usually have something that comes to an open and a close within that episode.
Yes.
That affects an overarching one.
Yeah.
The most notable of these is the original Walking Dead Telltale did, I think, is the one that really made this a much more viable thing to come back into the mainstream, the episodic gaming. What they would do is they'd have like that one problem with that one zombie problem each week, but then the whole season as a whole was more kind of... you know, dealing with that first lot of survivors and the travel to a location. I think the other big thing is it kind of like they release them usually months apart.
Yeah, of course.
And sometimes they won't finish the game in completion. They won't do the entire game and then release it episodically. They'll do maybe the first two, release the first one, and then they're working on the rest post-release. I think that became more obvious when Telltale recently shut down. And they're mid-season.
Yeah, they are. That, like, you can see it happen a lot. And I think, I remember when Broken Age originally, which was a game that wasn't supposed to be episodic, they moved that into a two-part thing because funding was quite difficult, and they ran into some money issues, and they decided, hey, this is going to have to be an episodic release. Let's do what we've got so far, get some additional money from the sales of that, and use that to fund the development of the second half of the game. And I think that's part of the reason why developers look at episodic games and they're like, this is quite a good business model because it's less risky, right? If you're not releasing all your content in one chunk and instead staggering it over multiple months, then there's multiple months where you're generating income for this product that is still in development.
Yeah, and I think there's a few like marketing things that people will do with their episodic gamings that are like... you know, some
with
practices
their gamings.
With their episodic gamings, which are dubious at times.
Don't like
such
it?
As, well, you know, you release the first episode and you charge people for the full game, knowing that they would get the future episodes released as they come.
Right.
This usually works out fine. Obviously, the latest season of Walking Dead has not worked out great because people would pay for the full season, and I think they've only finished the first two, with only the first one being released.
Yeah,
and so now it's now it's a kind of like, well, do these people get refunds? Do they, like, where are we going with this? There's talk of the season being finished and all this stuff, but...
Yeah, but have you seen the wording they chose to use? They said it will be finished, you know, under some conditions or in some capacity, which means, to me, it's probably not going to be these full video game experiences people are expecting or wanting. It may well be a webcomic or just something...
It could
something,
be a script.
Yeah, something that wraps up the story and that is delivered to the customers who have paid.
Oh, it's
and
very
And I think once we
wording.
See that happen and people get upset about it, like, we're going to have this whole discussion all over again.
Mm. But I think another way that they do it, and something that I notice they do a lot, especially with Telltale, they will release the first episode free.
Mm.
And they'll be like, first episode free.
Eventually. I don't know that they often... They
don't
do
launch with that, but they do once they've noticed, okay, it's kind of died down, no one's picking it up, now it's free.
Yeah, they hook you in.
And so what they do is you play the first episode, and they're like, now buy the rest.
Yeah.
And
Which,
it's like...
That's fine, though. That's like a demo. It feels like a good model to me.
Yeah, but I feel like the first episodes are sometimes deliberately then designed in such a way that they are that hook.
That's fine. I don't see that as an issue.
I'm not saying
I want demos to be captivating and for me to want to play the rest of their game.
I'm not saying it's a 100% issue. I'm saying that it's clearly a marketing ploy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which marketing ploys on general in the gaming world, I always have a bit of a shifty eye towards.
Yeah.
I'm always looking at them in the corner going, what are you up to?
It's always good to be a little bit scrupulous. Scheming.
But I think it's also important that, like, now Telltale for a very long time had the kind of monopoly on these episodic games. There wasn't much else out there, but we're noticing it much more these days. Life is Strange 2, Part 2, Season 2, just dropped, and that's post it
just
also...
Life is Strange 2, I think.
Okay, there we go. And that's after, you know, Life is Strange 1 was episodic, huge hit, then they released Before the Storm, which was a prologue spin-off, again, episodic. Then they released a small demo that was free, that was a singular episode.
Mm, Captain Spirit.
Yeah, and now we've gone into another season.
Yeah, so it's obviously working for them.
Yeah, like, I think that they've found something that works in their favor. But it's interesting that, because that's Square...
Square Enix Publishing.
Yeah, Square Enix Publishing. And Square Enix have possibly another one coming out that's episodic that you didn't like to hear about when I told you this.
I didn't even know this was a thing, but it frustrates me just knowing about it. But I need to know more.
Yeah, so I don't know if it's changed, but when it was first originally announced, and who knows where it is right now because no one knows what's happening over there, but Final Fantasy VII, the remake, was going to be released episodically.
Now, I had no idea.
Yeah.
And that to me just sounds crazy. That's just insane. Why would you release Final Fantasy VII, a game that already exists, you're remaking it, but then turning it into an episodic release? It's just, it's mind-blowing in so many different ways. Number one, sorry to everybody out there, but the Final Fantasy games don't have the most phenomenal storyline, so I am not hooked. Like, I'm never going to play episode one and go, oh my god, what happens in episode two? Partially because I already know, because the game has been out.
You can just look up any, like, of those old, like, dodgy websites that they used to have back in the 90s when the internet first started to boom.
Yeah.
That's got the plot on there. There you go. What happens next? There, that's what happens
next. But the game also just wasn't designed to be episodic.
No.
Right? Like, when you come out of the gate and do something creative and different and say, maybe you're pitching an idea and you're like, I want this to be episodic. So, for instance, the Hitman series did this. They kind of did a soft reboot of Hitman and made it an episodic release.
Which, for all of its shortcomings, that episodic release, and the fact that it didn't exactly land the way they were hoping to.
It wasn't very financially successful, but it was a very good game.
It was received very well. And then they released it all together. But I understand the way that that game is structured actually worked really well for episodic.
Yeah.
Because what happens is in each episode, it was a different location. And that location had its own mini story within it. And it was less about this overarching Hitman story that was going on, and more about these smaller stories that he's taking part in these bigger, more realized worlds.
Yep. They definitely had an idea, and that idea fit with the episodic formula. Whereas Final Fantasy VII... I don't know what their idea is, but it definitely doesn't fit with the episodic formula.
Yeah, and it also brings into questions like, what happens with the overworld map and all that? Does that disappear if it's episodic?
Yeah,
is it much more funneled down a down a direction? Is there less exploration? Because which episode is the exploring episode? Which, like, is every episode going to have
like
that
no
ability?
Story and all of it is random encounters.
Well, but then, like, do you also have an episode where you, you know, go to a town and it's like, sorry, you can't come here yet. That's in episode 3. Like,
I can't imagine that would happen.
But then they have to change the fundamental way the game plays.
Maybe they are.
And that's the thing. I think they are. They're changing a lot to it. And this is the thing. This is if this game ever arrives.
Oh, God.
I said to you that I think the reason that episodic gaming exists in this certain realm for Final Fantasy VII is in a similar vein to things like games as a service, whereby I think that they has been created in such a way to, or at least it's being utilized now in such a way to elongate the amount of time people are talking about your game. Like, you release it in March. Everyone plays it. Everyone's talking it. Like, God of War, people aren't really, like, still actively talking about. It released in March.
Well,
people speak of it fondly.
You say that, but I did get a phone call last night from somebody who just started playing it. And
but
they were
just
like,
started playing it. Yeah. I'm talking about, you don't have the people who started playing it in March. Like, I don't bring it up all the time. I still think fondly of it, but it's not on the tip of my tongue constantly.
Sure.
Whereas, say you released it in March and then you only gave a portion of it, so you play that portion. Then it comes back again in, you know, May. Then it comes back again in July, and then it comes back again in September. What you're doing is you're getting an ebb and flow of word of mouth from people who are loving this game throughout the year, and also...
But I don't think it works.
It's also having a huge effect on things like Let's Plays, where people will play episode one, then... You know, YouTube might die down for about a month, and then episode 2 comes out, and YouTube picks back up with all those Let's Plays, which, let's be honest...
What do you mean YouTube dies down?
No, as in, like, you get, like, that huge hit of content for a game, and then it kind of peaks out unless there's new content.
So not YouTube as a website. You mean
no.
You mean, like, specifically pertaining to this game.
For this specific game. Like, people, I'm sure everyone listening understood that, Elliot, once again.
I didn't.
But what I'm saying is... YouTube is now such a marketing tool that this works in their favor. You've got that consistent yearly update of people going back. Like, you've got things like all these multiplayer online games. When new content comes out, suddenly its presence in YouTube blows up again.
Yeah, but my thing with that is that I just don't know that that's the right approach to take. So I think games as a service is... a really good idea. And what that means, that phrase, if you're unaware, it just means that rather than having a iterative game and like next year you'll see a new release or a number two, like a sequel comes down the line sometime, instead of that, the idea of those kind of games is that you just never stop playing them.
They evolve.
They give you enough content and they keep changing things up and they keep having events and they keep doing these things to keep you hooked and keep you playing that you never really move on from that. Now, why that works is because... the longer you are playing these games and the more time that that game is sitting on your screen staring back at you is the more opportunities you have to purchase microtransactions and fuel the game's economy by actually participating within the economy of the game. But these episodic games, they don't function via the same formula. If your game is 8 hours long and you release it in one block, then you've played it for 8 hours. If your game is 8 hours long but you release it episodically with 2-hour blocks... then your game is still 8 hours. That is 8 hours on your screen for a person to engage in those microtransactions or engage in the community or something like that. It's still a very brief amount of time compared to games as a service.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is I'm not talking about the amount of time you're playing being any longer, but I'm talking about the fact that
just
it exists.
Cultural zeitgeist.
Yeah,
people discussing it
exists in culture for longer when you release it episodically.
Is it less of an impact, though? Like, when we get a release and it's one big full release, does that get talked about and revered much more than episode 2 of a release?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, this is the thing.
Well, then it has its own effects anyway.
It's not the same level. Like, it's still... I don't think it always works, but I can tell you that I reckon this is why they're doing it.
Mm.
Like, they're doing it for this elongated playtime, but not necessarily is it doing that. Look at a lot of the Telltale games. I have finished a fair amount of them, but a lot of them, once I've done episode 1 or 2,
yep.
I get... bored and move on.
You're going to hear this from so many people, and I'm one of them. I love The Walking Dead Season 1. I engaged in The Walking Dead Season 2 and still liked it, and then I fell off. Mm. And it wasn't because the story wasn't very good. It had nothing to do with that. It was just that I move on. I engage in an activity and then I find myself engaging in new things and I just don't want to revisit it because it's been so long. And because I've had this kind of break and mentally I've just moved on to the next thing. And to constantly be going back, like, it's just not my style. Like, I'm not that interested.
It's that release schedule that loses me. It makes me go, oh, do I have it in me to just keep coming back?
Yeah. And then part of me is like, well, why don't I wait 5 years and now play The Walking Dead now that the full thing is released and just do it all in one burst?
Which is what I've done with a few of them. I actually went back once it was released, all 5 episodes, and was able to play in one go. And even that is frustrating when you hit that mid-episode break and it's like, go to a menu now, select to keep going. I'm like, I'd rather just sit and go through the whole thing.
So are we saying it doesn't work?
I don't like episodic gaming.
You don't like it?
No, and I'm like, that's the thing I was gonna, when we were on our way in here, I had that thought in the car and I was about to tell you and I'm like, nope, I'm not gonna tell you until we're recording.
Is this because you think it's a debate? This is gonna be like to the defense.
I don't think it's good. I don't think it works.
Here's my problem. I like episodic games, but I don't like episodic gaming.
So, yeah, well, I'm the exact same.
So like there are so many good examples of episodic games.
Yeah, there are
great
ones.
We've listed a bunch already. But as a formula, it frustrates me.
I'd like to play them all in one go without like going to a menu to keep going, without the breakup, without the unnecessary cliffhanger that comes with the end of every episode that's trying to hook you to go to the next one.
It also brings up that whole concern about what happens if a studio closes or what happens if a studio runs out of ideas. All of a sudden, you're invested and you've paid for something that you may no longer receive. So we've seen it with Telltale. Just because of their collapse. But what about the Half-Life episodes? Like, we've had Half-Life 2 Episode 1, Half-Life 2 Episode 2. It ended on a cliffhanger. Freaking, what, 10 years later?
You say episode. They were.
That's literally the name of the game.
I know, but then that's not episodic gaming.
I don't see what the difference is.
Yeah, because they're fully fledged games that exist on their own.
Yeah, you're right. You didn't buy a season pass to unlock all of them. But having said that,
just
I reckon.
If
they were released,
Final Fantasy Episode 15 and Final Fantasy Episode 14 had really different direction between the two of them.
But they're the exact same game.
All you have to do is change the. Okay, one's an MMO, one's an RPG.
I'm talking about the Half-Life games. They're the exact same game, the same narrative, the same story.
No, but
same engine, same everything.
So Episode 2 of God of War will be coming eventually.
Why?
I don't know, but that's what I'm saying. Like, you can take any game that has sequels and put episode on it. It doesn't make it an episodic game.
I didn't call them... Like, the game developers themselves called them episodes, not me.
But that's what I'm saying. You don't just get called them episodes and now we fit them in the episodic game category.
But I'm trying to think in my mind why it doesn't fit in that category and I can't explain it. Don't make that face at me.
I don't know how to explain this anymore to you. A sequel is not an episode.
Yeah, but why are they sequels? They're small bursts of content. They weren't enough to make a full game.
Well, Half-Life, yes they were, weren't they?
No. Half-Life 1 was a game, Half-Life 2 was a game, and then they decided to go for episodes, and they released Half-Life 2 Episode 1.
That's right.
And Half-Life 2 Episode 2.
Because wasn't the next one supposed to be Half-Life 3?
Yeah, Half-Life 2 Episode 3 was what's supposed to come, and
it was supposed to go to Half-Life 3.
Well, that's what we think now, if it ever comes, because it's been so long that there's no reason for them to continue the episodic formula.
How did you turn this into an episode about Half-Life, goddammit? But I just think, you know, you've got things like...
Episode 2 was awesome.
Okay. Right now...
Which is why we need Episode 3. Because it's like...
Stop talking.
Okay, sorry. Go on.
Right now...
it ended on a cliffhanger.
Oh, my God.
I'm getting paid for this later when I get, like, bitch slapped across the face.
Right now, I think developers are seeing episodic gaming in the same way they're seeing games as a service as a way to prolong their game. And I don't think that's always the right decision. The director of Final Fantasy XV, whose name escapes me right now, said that they're going to be looking at, in the future, doing all their games how Final Fantasy XV was released, where it came out, but then they also released episodes post that, which were kind of like DLC, but they filled in important gaps in the story that were deliberately left out.
Right.
And so it's like, you broke your story up deliberately to then release this episodic gaming to then extend game, but in such a way that the games weren't included. You had to buy them separately.
Right. But did it feel like an incomplete product, the first purchase?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
The narrative...
Oh, that's not fun.
Final Fantasy XV for a full, a lot of people really loved the gameplay and the world and all this stuff. But the biggest complaint everyone had was that narrative just was jumpy and didn't make a lot of sense.
Right.
And so these episodes are supposed to fill those gaps. And everyone's like,
here's my question,
that shouldn't exist.
Here's what I want to know. Did they develop this with the intention of cutting out those content so that they could sell it separately? Or did they develop this, get to the end and go, this makes no logical sense. What were we thinking? Why are there these massive gaps in the story? I think we can fix this.
Because what happens in the story is basically a character goes, I have to go to another location for some reason. And they leave. And these episodes follow these other characters as they uncover bits of the story elsewhere.
Oh, that sounds okay.
Then stuff will happen and you'll be like, but that makes no sense. Why is what's happened? There's
but
clearly
then it's
a gap.
Explained later.
When you pay for
it. But I kind of like that. That sounds interesting.
But you have to pay for that. But it's not done well. That's the problem.
Mm.
A game should be able to exist on its own solely narratively without you having to buy extra episodes to then fully understand where it is. Which is, I think, why Telltale, like, yeah, do you know what? You could just play the first one in a thing and you get a little story and it kind of closes. And at that point, you could go, oh, I feel like I've had enough. Or you might be interested in the longer arching interest. You make that decision. I think if you release a full-priced game and then it's missing parts of the narrative because you're going to release episodic DLC afterwards... Nah.
Episodic games fit in this weird mid-category for me where it's like, if you're too niche and too indie, people aren't going to be that invested in your product, so it's going to fall off and nobody's going to buy episode 2, 3, 4, whatever. I've had that with a few games because there are actually, like, you think episodic gaming and there's a few big ones you think of, but there are so many indie games that follow that formula. But then if you're big enough, I feel like developers don't go the route of episodic because episodic feels like a way... I said it earlier in the show, it feels like a way to pad out funding for a game. Like, mm-hmm. this isn't the ideal way to showcase one big blockbuster release. It feels like a way to make a more niche, kind of mid-tier game. So it feels in this really odd kind of mid-section that not that many developers really can work with.
Yeah, I also find that with a lot of the AAA developers, when an episodic game comes along... there's a bit of apathy about it, like, oh yeah, I'll get it at some point. Mm. Like, I feel indies, you jump on a little bit to be like, oh, got to support this so it goes somewhere. But like a AAA, you go, and I think that's what happened with Telltale. People went, oh, it'll always be around.
Right.
It'll always be there. I'll get to it eventually.
Yeah, there was no agency to jump on it because the reality is the story hasn't finished yet.
So you're only going to get parts of the story. Yeah. So I feel like really, you know, aggressive fans jumped on and were super happy, but the rest were like, I'll wait. I'll wait until I've got the full story because there's always be a chance.
Look, there's a lot of theories out there about why Telltale failed and why their studio collapsed. It's a big shame because undeniably there are some very talented people who were part of that team, which sucks, but that's led us to think about episodic gaming and like if that kind of formula even works.
It's valid anymore.
Yeah. Like, was it ever like a big success? I don't know if there were any massive success stories to come out of it.
I think the only time episodic gaming can work is when you have a strong narrative. Like, the episodic games rely on strong
and so much can
intricate
go wrong.
Narrative. But I just don't think that's why something like Final Fantasy VII, when you talk about it, that narrative, I don't think it's strong enough to carry episodic gameplay.
I think that's just me and you, though. I think people will, like, absolutely love that kind of story. But I don't know. There's something about Final Fantasy VII that's just a bit dated.
I think it'll take a lot of nuance in the writing to make episodic feel like it fits and not feel like a cheap cop-out to get more money for a longer time.
Yep. Absolutely. That is unfortunately all the time we've got
for this episode.
You tune in next week for the next episode about episodic gaming.
I'm gonna fight zombies next episode.
Is that what you're doing?
Yes.
What a cliffhanger.
Will I survive? Who knows?
Find out next week on
Checkpoint Intimates.
That was awkward.
Yep.